Good evening. It's January the 18th, 2019. It's Friday night. And this is the Little Saigon Report. For all five or six or seven people that listen, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder why I do things like this. A friend of mine back in 2012. I got a lot of weird recommendations in 2012, especially right after my sister died. But a friend of mine recommended that I should podcast because they thought I was funny. And I don't know. I don't think I'm funny. I'm not even sure that it's all that interesting to listen to me, but maybe I do it because why not? I was reading Zero Hedge tonight, and it was talking about a TA in philosophy, graduate student in philosophy, one of my dreams, actually. One of my dreams that was really just never going to happen. He was, basically on Facebook saying that in order for African Americans to have their true liberty and dignity, some white people have to die. And on most days, I would shrug this off and think to myself, well, it's funny. And just so you know, I support free speech. So if people want to say some white people have to die, that's really their own business. And also, really doesn't matter because I think, white men like me, it's appropriate that we should die. I don't really like the world today. I don't like how things turned out. I think we live in an upside down world as far as human dignity in general goes. I think most people, including this TA, are being driven to a kind of madness, and I don't have the power to stop it. And I'm tired. Of everything included, I'm tired. There was this phrase today I was thinking about. It was in my head for like an hour, something to the effect that the cold brings a peaceful silence. If painful, at least numbing. The cold is numbing. I was looking at, and I don't know, I'm just going to talk. I was looking at various ways people kill themselves. I don't really have any money, so I don't have money for fentanyl. Truly, if you're going to disappear, that sounds like the easiest way out. I don't have a firearm. I would probably say that would be the next easiest, but definitely noisy and dirty way. I don't know as much as I want to kill myself, as much as I have this headache. And I just don't have anything left in me. And the people that care, and I think there are one or two people out there that give a shit, but the people that care, it's not like they have resources. It's not like they're rich people. They're just like you. They're just like me. Actually, they're like most of us. They're hanging on as best they can to whatever you want to call this American dream. It's not much of a dream. I won't even call it a nightmare. But it's some kind of a strange, strange situation. And for me, it was like the cold brings a kind of calming numbness. It is, in many ways, a forever drift away. I mean, all I'd have to do is get on the bus, go to Golden Gardens, late at night, early in the morning, doesn't really matter when. I know enough about the Puget Sound to know that the temperature's low enough, that if you get out far enough, you're not going to get back to shore. And if no one's there to help you, you're dead. And I'm kind of convinced that deaths like this are probably painful and ugly, but if you're on a budget, if you don't have any money, it's that or it's hanging. I was reading about hanging. It turns out in Chinese culture, hanging yourself is kind of a ceremony. Like essentially to hang yourself is to declare to others a kind of rebuke. and people that would hang themselves would dress themselves up in such a way that that's how they would look when they visited themselves upon their neighbors, or rather upon the people that they believe offended them. And the striking thing about it is it didn't seem like a dishonor. Like in Chinese culture, it was honorable in some circumstances to just simply kill yourself. I know in Scandinavian countries, drowning used to be popular. I don't know if it is still popular as a means of killing yourself. But yeah, hypothermia kicks in relatively quickly in the Puget Sound, and what do you need, 5-10 minutes of that? I was thinking also about a friend of mine in 2014. I don't think he's my friend, or I don't even know if he was ever my friend. It's funny. I've had all these friends in recent years, kind of like the Hoosier friend that ripped me off for $7,000, or the Irish friend that ripped me off for about the same amount and stole a whole bunch of my time and energy and basically ruined most of 2016. Friend in both these cases is used with sarcastic quotes. But that friend in Indianapolis, that friend that ripped me off, I remember buying into his fucking bullshit, like being there for him. And then it was like one thing after another. And then I think back to this other friend from 2014, the friend that tried to kill himself, and I decided I would try to be there for him. I don't want to go into all the details about it because it has to do with more than just that personal life stuff. This friend was somebody that was close to somebody I once knew. I ended up calling this friend in 2017 asking for help, and I was more or less told that there was, you know, that he didn't have any help for me. And full disclosure, in recent years, in addition to my foolish little experiments with optimism in 2016, I've tried to trust people. I've tried to trust people and be optimistic and in my heart believe that people gave a shit. But what I've found, especially since my divorce, is that at my strongest moments, I was a target. And at my weakest moments, I was someone to be ignored. Which in some ways feels like my marriage. You know, in my strongest moments of my marriage, I was a source of income. I was a cash machine. I delivered money to my ex-wife, and that made her happy. In 2009, when things started going sideways, and keep in mind, even in those sideways years, I was still averaging about $50,000 a year. Kind of have my tax returns to prove that one. And for a lot of people these days, 50 grand would be a lot of money, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for us both working. We had no kids. We didn't really have any serious overhead. It wasn't enough. Am I bitter about that? I'm not bitter at my ex as much as I'm bitter at myself for being so fucking stupid. I would like to tell you that being generous to your neighbor and helping your friends will lead to positive outcomes. But as I sit here thinking about the easiest and least gruesome way to kill myself, I have a hard time convincing you, and I won't be able to convince myself. I have more or less screwed myself in the Seattle area software jobs go. I've figured that out in the last week. I don't know, maybe it's deserved. I was pretty fucking pissed off at that asshole at Alaska Airways. I was pretty fucking pissed off at how he treated me. And I didn't understand his fucking entitlement. And it's also equally interesting because I remember, before I went to Korea, getting all kinds of culture briefings on what you do and don't do around Asian people as a matter of politeness, as a matter of being a representative. What was funny is this particular motherfucker, this particular Chinese man, H-1B visa probably, I have no fucking clue. He felt entitled to do the very things to me that I was told was inappropriate to do to people like him. And that's never changed. And in all this, don't feel sorry for me. If anything, this is a cautionary tale. the most successful member of my family economically. The most successful member of my family economically is the most ruthless, the meanest, the most callous, and frankly, the most conniving. And you can measure the success of my family in terms of ruthlessness. Like, the more ruthless and shitty people are to each other, the more successful they are. And being that I've come from a family of 8 kids, it's an interesting little subcluster. 6 sisters, 1 brother, 1 sister in heaven. And oh yeah, she fit into a fucking slot. My sister Nancy was never really ruthless. She wasn't perfect. She screwed up. But she was never ruthless. She was never really mean. And to the extent that she could be generous, she was always generous. She's dead. And as far as the religious question goes, as far as God's feelings about a man wanting to kill himself, I don't know how to answer that question. What I can tell you is that I'm at the end of my ropes. So it's either a quick death or it's a slow death of dying in the streets. And when I say that, I still have one friend, one person in my life, who a week ago said, hey, I'll help you with a month's worth of rent. But I know that's money they don't have. I know that's money that they can't afford to lend or give or whatever. And I also know that at this point in time, I wouldn't give me money. I wouldn't, you know, write a check and say, here's another month's worth of rent. Here's some more food. Here's another 30 days to live. I wouldn't give me that fucking money. And why? Because I'm not the same fucking person I was 3 years ago. 4 years ago. Fuck. If I knew then, if I knew in just 2015 what I know now, I would still have a safe full of silver. I'd have very little, well, pretty much no debt other than student loan debt. And yeah, I would be doing just fucking fine with my weed and my beer and my pizza and my nice big window to look out upon all the bullshit when it explodes. And if there is a regret in any of this, it might be the regret that I'll miss out on the punishment. Because whether there's a God or not, and I believe there is, punishment's a feature of reality. Take it from me. The lesson to be learned by anyone that wants to succeed today in this upside-down, crony, really rather fascist economic system, not at all free, the lesson is you're either the person who's going to take the beating or you're the person that's going to beat somebody. You're either the person that's going to lose your money or you're going to be the person that steals it. And as this Georgia TA has said, some white people need to die. And what's more interesting is, as a ginger, I'm barely white. But that's fucking irrelevant, isn't it? So yeah, don't feel sorry for me. I don't know. I haven't really made my decision yet. I'm kind of on the, you know, this is a classic case of being on the fence. I have a really bad headache. So if I had... And I think it's probably because I'm running out of food, but I have a really bad headache. And if someone said, here's some fentanyl, Dan, here's a fentanyl patch. You put this patch on, or two of these patches, or better yet, 3, and you'll be dead in about, I don't know, 30 minutes. And dude, you won't feel one fucking thing. If someone came up to my door right now and handed me 3 fentanyl patches, I'd probably stick them on. And if you want to call this a cry for help, you can. I don't think it's a cry for anything. I think it's a recognition in my heart that I am worthless, that I'm a fuck up, that my entire life is a giant joke. My writing sucks, my speaking sucks, my code must suck because the environments I've been in, I've been treated like shit. And I don't think that's actually true, but that's irrelevant also. I think I'm a great software engineer, but you don't need great software engineers in the Seattle market. What you need are people that obey. And that's my problem, is I'm not really good at obedience. I tried it for a few years in the Army, and I was driven by principle, you know? I was driven by principles. In my first year in service, I saw every moral principle I consider it important and relevant to being an officer, every moral principle violated by my peers and my superiors. Lying about status, lying during war games, lying about the readiness of troops in South Korea. I saw that all my first fucking year. Lies and deception, corruption and crookedness. So that's the deal, you know. I am no one to be mourned or remembered. I probably shouldn't even post this podcast, but I suppose there's still a spark inside of me that says, well, Dan, maybe you should post it. I have a friend that wants to buy me food at Dick's tomorrow and take me to church, but I'm really tempted to tell this friend that I'm not feeling well, which is actually true. I feel like shit right now. I don't know that it's because I'm sick. I don't think it is. I think it's because I'm a little bit, you know, only a little bit malnourished, because believe me, I'm fat enough. I could go a long time before I starve to death. But then there's the whole thing about vitamins, right? Anyways. No, I would love to go get a cheeseburger. I don't know if I want to go to church. I don't know if I feel like talking to God right now. What am I going to tell the God? That I'm really happy about all these moments in my life where I tried to do the right thing, and my ultimate payoff for trying to be decent is to be treated like shit. Whatever my marriage was, for example, I tried to be supportive of my wife all the time, even at my weakest moments. And I recall telling her, and I think I've mentioned this before in some podcasts, I remember telling her when we first met, I said, it's a really bad idea for two people who suffer from depression to get together. I thought it was a terrible fucking idea. She suffered from more of a chronic depression, seasonal affective disorder, and I suffered from something kind of episodic, you know, episodic and acute. So when it hit bad. But if a person who cared about me was patient and could understand these things, I figured I could get through it in a year, you know, and yeah, that sucks. But I didn't have that, really. And when she asked me to go, I didn't cling on. I didn't claw my way back. I think there was one call I made the day after she dumped me to see if I could come back, just because, frankly, I got so used to having someone in my life, I guess I didn't know how to not have somebody there. But after she dumped me, I was gone. She was free to live her own fucking life. And I don't think she's a bad person. What I would say about my ex is that she's 100% fucking normal. The best reason for me to kill myself is I no longer live in a society where I represent anything like remotely normal. I am way on the fringe. Unlike most Seattleites, I don't walk around thinking to myself, holy fuck, why are all these homeless people screwing me? Why are all these homeless people pooping and peeing in the streets? They must all be scumbags. Unlike most Seattleites, I don't figure out how to screw my fucking neighbor turning shelter into a pyramid scheme. That's right, you know, food, water. If I wonder to myself sometimes, these fuckers, if I had the wealth to take over food and water and turn it into the same fucking scheme that these Seattleites turn shelter into. And that's what a home is. A home is shelter. A home is not investment, okay? It might seem like an investment, but that's just because it seems like it. For most people, home is fucking shelter, whether it's an actual home or an apartment, or even this cube I live in right now. As small as it is, it isn't so bad. And it's shelter. Way better than being cold, way better than being wet and cold, being freezing, having street bunnies, aka rats running all over the place. Way better than being in a situation where people are at their most desperate point. And you talk about not being able to trust people who have shelter, who have food, who have water. Imagine trying to trust people who grew up in this society who are on the brink. my ability to trust anybody is gone. And I think that includes trusting myself. And perhaps in all of this, especially when I think about my own values, and some of these have never changed, I've always felt in my heart that the healthiest society you could possibly live in is a free society. I have always felt in my heart that the most harmful world you could create is a kind of prison state reality. A reality where people are controlled and manipulated, a reality where people are channeled and programmed, aka the modern world currently. It is the least healthy reality. So it's hard for me on this particular day, on this Friday in January of 2019, being almost 50, to think of any good fucking reasons for sticking around. I suppose if you listen to this podcast, you could, you know, respond with a message. If you want me to kill yourself, all you have to do is call me a loser. I'm not saying that'll cause it, but hey, it'll push me in the right direction. If you don't want me to kill myself, I'm not even sure you should respond, because really, what would you fucking say? I called the suicide hotline the other day. I finally got through. And I swear to God, and this is that boy state. This is where you go to Google. If you type in, you know, how to commit suicide, or I want to commit suicide, this is the number or the link that shows up at the top on Google. And it's I believe it's connected to boy state, or excuse me, Boys Town. Boys Town, that's what it is. Boys State, that's another fucking thing. No, it's connected to Boys Town. And I get on the line, and this woman barely speaks English. And so I just, you know, and then she asked me where I live, which is great, because in the text online on the website, it says these are friendly people there to help and to be honest. So she asked me where I live, and I basically say Washington State. And then after a minute or so, I say, well, where do you live? And she says, well, we're not allowed to say that. And that was about the only statement that she could state in what I would call understandable English or coherent English. She sounded like she was in the Philippines. She sounded like she was in a phone mill somewhere in Manila. She barely spoke English. She barely wanted to listen to me. And after that call to the Boys Town suicide hotline, I had another reason for wanting to kill myself. I could talk about going to the local food bank and basically feeling like not only unwelcome, but last time I was there, I was handed rotten food. I mean, basically the dude hands me these two things that are supposed to be refrigerated. They were warm to the touch. They were definitely room temperature. And given the state of that facility, it had probably been there for a while. And yet in the back of my head, I knew that a year from now, if things were bad enough, I would eat the rotten food. You boil and you eat the rotten food. That's what you have to do. If you're in Leningrad in 1942, you might have that meat stew and not ask too many fucking questions, because if you want to live, that's what you have to do. If you're one of these Chilean or Argentinian soccer players stuck in the Andes and all you have are your fellow players to eat, well then, you know what? You're having frozen jerky if you want to live. But some of us don't want to live that way. That's also true. Some of us don't want to murder and kill in order to stay alive another day. The worst thing you could accuse me of is being in debt. And you know what? If that's a horrible accusation at this point in human history, well, it's a big fucking club. Which includes, technically speaking, the richest and most powerful people that ever lived. But with these people, their debt's firewalled. It's kind of like with Trump. Trump's been bankrupt a lot, but Trump's debt and his bankruptcies were always firewalled. It was an LLC. It was a business. Don't worry. He kept the gravy and the potatoes. He only lost, he didn't lose anything but the grizzle. So there you go. The cold, cold embrace of something painful and yet numbing. of all the possible choices I could think of, that seems the least horrific. Just going to Golden Gardens and just walking out into the water and seeing what happens. There are some who would say the fact that I'm alone and isolated is proof that I'm a terrible person. And that might also be true. That's why shed no tears, man. Shed no tears. Because you need to use your brain and ask some rational questions. Ask yourself, what is this person worth to me? I mean, really, other than pity, other than being a pitiable figure, what is this person worth to me? Nothing. I am worthless. Like this Georgia, you know, freaking UGA philosophy teaching assistant said, some white people, you know, may have to die. And I think that, yeah, that says a lot. And maybe that says everything. The message in Seattle I've gotten from people is basically this. If I want to be the person who I am, I should just go off and kill myself. Or become a Borg, become like them, believe nonsense, treat people and things like shit, call myself a Buddhist while I engage in property pyramid schemes, and then basically price people out of one of the three fundamental things that you fucking need to survive, especially in a cold climate: shelter. If being normal means a pyramid scheme around food, water, or shelter, and let's just specifically say housing, home, shelter, then yeah, normal sucks. Normal is fucking bullshit. If being normal is saying to yourself that every single homeless person must be a drug addict, must be crazy, now you could maybe argue 50%. So of the government number for the United States, or let's just think about King County. King County says there's roughly 12,000 homeless. I would be willing to accept the argument, if that's the accurate number, and I think it's probably twice that amount. I could accept the perspective that half the people are there because of madness or drug addiction or because they're fucking lazy. But the other half are there, whether it's 6,000 or 10,000 or 20,000, and I think it's closer to 20,000 than any other number. The other half that's there, they're there because they fell off the radar of human existence, and nobody gives a fuck. Nobody cares. You know, the government, the federal government was shut down for almost 30 days, and people are crying rivers over this incredibly corrupt, incredibly manipulative, and frankly, kind of evil organization at this point. Again, not a very Seattle thought. Seattle thought is the government's good, right? The government's there to help you. But the government doesn't get paid for a month, and everyone's fucking crying a river. What the fuck? And as far as food stamps go, here's a simple thing you need to know. There is no, not that I want one, but there is no program for people like me, okay? If I go to the fucking welfare office, there's no money for me, there's no food stamps. Okay, they'll tell me to fill out paperwork that they'll reject, and then they'll tell me to go fuck myself. And just because I don't want to conduct that experiment, just because I haven't, doesn't mean it's not true. And even if it were false, like let's say I could go down to the welfare office and get my free money for food and get some money for housing, I don't even know if I would. Because I know at the other end of that line is somebody who's getting fucked. I know that there's a quote-unquote taxpayer, aka victim of theft, who's getting fucked. So even that becomes a better reason just to go away. And in all this, I still haven't decided that the two basic choices, and they remain the two basic choices, is just have it be over with or just go into the streets, because that's the next step down. And here's the thing about being in the streets. It sucks. It's cold. It's filled with disease and street bunnies and people who are so desperate that they too would probably steal your shit. But at least their reasons are a bit more understandable. Unlike my Hoosier friend in 2016 who ripped me off for $7,000. And actually, I think that's a low estimate. Yeah, the streets are terrible, but that still gives you time, right? It still buys you some time. So I don't know what I'm going to do. And maybe the cherry on the top or the icing on the cake is this. There are no, even if I wanted to check myself into a hospital, and I don't think this is mental illness. I think this is just a recognition that I'm used up. But even if I wanted to, those hospital beds are full. Okay, I hate to break it to you. If you live in Magnolia or Maple Leaf or some quote unquote okay neighborhood in Seattle or someplace else, there are a lot of people, and I think it's an underreported phenomenon, but there are a lot of people who basically want to kill themselves in a very serious way. Some people succeed, but a lot of people out there have reached the end of their ropes. I'm just one more statistic. And I'm not necessarily an appealing one or an interesting one. I have no kids. I have no girlfriend or wife. And yeah, I have maybe one or two friends, but these are people, like I said, that have their own shit. Okay? They are all treading water. They are all trying to stay alive. I am nothing compared to that because everyone is trying to stay alive. Whatever that means, if their society is telling them they have to have X, and in order to have X, they need a certain amount of money, and they don't have it, well, they're treading water, or they're not recognizing reality. And, you know, I don't know how much longer this madness can continue. 10 years ago, I would have said it couldn't last a decade. Now I'm convinced that this madness can definitely outlast me. It can outlast me. It can probably outlast everybody. And I think most people, especially the young people, will simply march and cheer their waves right to the... They're going to cheer their way right to the fucking prison camp. Right to the point that they're being slaughtered. Because that's all they fucking know. A lot of these young people, they grew up in a country that was already going sideways. And for those that believe everything's fine, God bless you. And I mean that. If you have plenty of food to eat tonight, you know, you should say a prayer and thank God for that. If you have a warm place to sleep tonight, which I do. I may not have plenty of food, but I do have plenty of warmth. You know, it's a blessing. If you have any kind of water, though a lot of our water is very polluted. But if you have something that remotely is comparable to fresh water, yeah, that's a blessing. I mean, that really is the American dream in 2019. And it's funny because on my old blog, I actually listed out the sort of the arc of the American dream. And for the year 2019, roughly speaking, I think I said something like, you know, food, water, shelter. That's, you know, I don't want to call you rich, but it's getting to the point now, especially if you have private shelter. Like if you have, like, I don't have a big place, but I don't share it with anybody. If you have food, if you have water, if you have your own shelter, fuck. You're doing pretty well. And if you grew up believing that all you needed were those three things and a smartphone, then you have everything you need, and you'll have it as long as they're able to provide it or they want to. And if you don't care, it doesn't matter. I, for one, have this longing obsession with a cold, miserable embrace. You know, I know enough about the water to know that. 39, 40 degrees. You just swim as far as you can and you won't make it back. And I'm a good enough swimmer that I could get myself into trouble. And that's also important. I'm fat enough and I'm a good enough swimmer that I could get myself out probably a good distance. You know, maybe a quarter of a mile, maybe half a mile. Maybe to the point that there are currents out there. And then all that's left is just to let go. Let the water cool you down. Let your core temperature descend. Let that numbing feeling take away your pain. So for this Friday night, and I really don't know what I'll title this, but I almost feel like I should title this podcast Letting Go. But for this Friday night, that would be my advice, is that if you want to survive in this world, you got to let go of some shit. You got to let go of a lot of shit. Because as an ordinary person, they're not going to let you keep it. Yeah, some people are still treading water. And some people are actually sitting on logs, and maybe they're even inside of a rescue raft or a skiff, and so they can pretend that everything's fine. If you're there, like I said, good on you. And if you're there because you worked hard and you treated everyone with respect, and you never did a wrong deal to anybody, I think that's a rare fucking gem these days, if you're sitting pretty and you're a decent person. But it's been my experience that the most secure people now are mostly scumbags. And that's at every level. Like, if you meet somebody in the Seattle middle class and they seem like they're doing well, they either were directly involved in fucking somebody or they facilitated it. And maybe before I go, I'll say this once more. If you think that the housing economy or the property economy or the real estate business is legitimate, fuck you. Okay? When it comes to everyday people, food, water, and shelter are things people fucking need. And you can't pass, and here's the other thing, you can't pass a law against being an asshole. You certainly can pass laws that facilitate being an asshole. You certainly can inject moral hazard, but you can't stop people from being assholes. Okay? You really can't. So I'm not calling for any stupid laws, although I wish Fannie and Freddie would disappear. They're abominations, but yeah, I'm not calling for any law. I would prefer we don't, inject money, bullshit debt into a system just to create a shelter pyramid. But like I said, if you think flipping your shelter, your home, which is shelter, is a legitimate way to profit, fuck you. Fuck you. Okay? If you're confused about where the homelessness is coming from, fuck you. Shelter, whatever you're going to say about it, is probably not something you should turn into a commodity. Unless, of course, at some point, and it ain't going to be me because, like I said, I got my own plan, but at some point, your neighbors are going to see you for who the fuck you are. And I promise you, when that madness comes, they won't know the difference between a little bad and really bad. When the French Revolution really started getting going, and I'd have to say that would be 1790, 1791, the guillotine wasn't fast enough. They actually loaded nobles and hairdressers and whatever other people they could, blame for their atrocities onto barges that they could sink. These were barges that they could sink and then raise again. Okay? So they could sink the barge, the people, maybe for 20 minutes or an hour till you're sure, pretty much everyone's dead. And then you just raise the barge again. And yeah, of the many great things that the French Revolution gave us, yeah, they also gave us genocide, if we're honest, or at least in its basic form. Perhaps not genocide in any ethnic sense, but in terms of mass murder, yeah, the fucking French were way ahead. So if you make money off the shelter scheme, you might do okay. You might be great for a while, but you're fucking your neighbor. And if you call yourself a Christian and you make money off the shelter pyramid scheme, you're not going to heaven. You're not. Christ would not have figured out a way to pile housing schemes to make money. He would have seen it as something people need. You need food, you need water, you need shelter. There are a lot of things you can live without, including fucking health care. It's not to say it's great, but you can. You don't need a dentist, as I've said before. But you do need food, you do need water, you do need shelter. And when any one of those things becomes a means by which one neighbor can victimize another, then yeah, you're living in kind of a hellish society. And so why not find out what the real thing is like? If this is if this is the wondrous planet Earth run by wonderful people, then if hell's worse, it's got to be worse in some way that's beyond imagination, right? Because this feels like hell. I've joked with people that I thought I'd died in my sleep in 2015. I even have a video on my website about this. But if I did die in 2015, I think I went to hell. Good night.